The NDA was 4 pages. I read 2 of them. That is the honest version of what happened, and I need to give you the honest version, because the version where I say I was pressured or rushed or given no time is not accurate. I had the document for 3 days before I signed it. I had a week before my start date. I read the compensation section, which was what I had been told the NDA covered. I read the non-compete radius, which was the part one had been told to check. I did not read the section titled Prior Incidents and Organizational Knowledge. I did not read it because I did not know to look for it, and because the title did not tell me what it contained. I found that section 2 years later, in a different context, when a colleague, I'll call her Marcia, mentioned something about what she called the quiet list. She said it with the assumption that I knew what she was talking about. I did not know what she was talking about. She looked at me for a moment like she was recalibrating, and then asked, careful and precise, whether I had signed an NDA when I joined the company. I said yes. She asked whether I had read all of it. I said I had read most of it. She said that was unfortunate, and changed the subject. I went home that night and read the full 4 pages. The section one had not read was 7 paragraphs. Its practical content was this. By signing the agreement, I acknowledged that certain matters related to prior employees and prior events within the organization fell within the scope of information protected under this agreement, and that I agreed not to disclose, inquire about, or seek information regarding any such matters, defined broadly to include conversations with current or former employees about events or incidents that had occurred prior to my employment. The language was dense, and the scope was deliberately vague. What it functionally prohibited, as I understood it after 2 readings and a conversation with an employment attorney I saw the following week, was my asking any current or former employee of the company anything about prior incidents involving any person the company might choose to designate as protected. The attorney was careful. She said the enforceability of that section was genuinely unclear and would depend heavily on jurisdiction and specific circumstances. She said what was clear was what it was designed to do. It was designed to make someone like me feel legally constrained from having a conversation that the company did not want her to have. I had been at that company for 2 years. I had been managed at various points by 3 different people. One of them, I will not name him, for reasons the rest of this will make obvious, had a pattern of behavior that I had noticed and named to myself, in the way you name things when you are hoping the name is wrong. Proximity without invitation. Comments framed as compliments that contained something else. A habit of initiating one-on-one meetings with junior women, and then describing those meetings to other senior people as mentorship. Nothing I could prove, nothing I had reported, nothing I had said out loud to anyone. After the conversation with Marcia, I understood why I had not said it out loud to anyone. Not only because of my own uncertainty about what I had observed, but because the NDA I had signed 2 years earlier had quietly installed a legal framework around any conversation I might have about past events at this company, and that framework made conversation feel dangerous in a way I had not been able to name because I had not known it was there. The employment attorney walked me through what the section likely covered in practice. It was probable, she said, that other employees, particularly those who had joined in the previous 4 years, had signed similar or identical agreements. It was probable that the prior incidents and organizational knowledge language had been drafted in response to a specific event or series of events that the company's legal counsel had advised them to contain. It was probable, not certain, but probable, that there had been complaints and that the NDA framework had been constructed specifically to prevent those complaints from becoming a pattern of testimony. She said this calmly, in the manner of someone explaining a mechanism rather than a crime. The mechanism was not necessarily illegal. Non-disclosure agreements are legal instruments with legitimate purposes. The question of when they cross from confidentiality into obstruction of justice is a fact-specific analysis that courts have handled inconsistently, particularly in employment contexts where the relationship between legal coercion and voluntary signature is structurally complicated. I asked her what I should do. She said that depended on what I wanted to accomplish and what I was willing to risk. She said there were a range of options between doing nothing and filing a complaint, and that each option had a cost and a set of possible outcomes I should understand before choosing. She billed me for 1 hour. I drove home. I still work in the same industry. Not at that company. I left 18 months after the conversation with Marcia for what I described in interviews as a desire for new challenges, which was not the whole story. I did not discuss the NDA with anyone at my new employer. I did not discuss it with recruiters. The document was confidential, and I had signed an agreement that made it confidential. I did what people do when legal documents make honesty complicated. I found accurate things I was allowed to say, and said those. The manager with the pattern of behavior is still at the company. I know this because LinkedIn exists, and because I find myself checking it approximately once every 3 months, which tells me something about the part of me that has not finished processing what I observed, and did not report, and cannot now discuss under the terms of an agreement I signed without understanding. The quiet list. I eventually learned more about it in ways I can describe generally without describing specifically. It appears to be a set of shared knowledge among a subset of employees, primarily women, who had been at the company for more than 3 years, about incidents and individuals and patterns that could not be discussed in formal channels because of the NDA framework most employees had signed. The knowledge was passed through sideways conversations and implied references and the calibrated way that Marcia had looked at me and said that's unfortunate and changed the subject. It was an informal archive of things the formal company infrastructure had been legally structured to prevent from becoming a formal archive. I signed the document in good faith. I read what I had been told to read. What I did not know was that the sections I had been told to check were not the sections that mattered. The thing I keep coming back to is the architecture of it. The NDA was not a violation. It was a document I signed voluntarily. The fact that my signature was voluntary is true, and it is also the point, because a document that constrains your ability to speak while remaining legally unimpeachable requires you to have signed it voluntarily and without full comprehension of its scope. Full comprehension would have changed the signature. The absence of full comprehension was the design. At what point does a document you signed freely become the thing that was done to you?